Dear friends in Jesus Christ, let us pray. Father in heaven, as we come to a place in the Bible that talks about the sins of King David, we know his sins were great, and yet it's easy to point the finger at him, but help us to remember that we are also sinners. So may you use this message to help all of us to examine ourselves, to be repentant, and to ever focus on your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that in him we are forgiven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we learned how temptation works. Then last week, we began to focus on how we justify our sin, and we focused last week on this situation with the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Remember how God acted in a very dramatic way, opening up the earth and swallowing them alive to show that their rebellion was not pleasing to God as they challenged the called leaders of God in Moses and Aaron. Today, we're going to look at David's sins of adultery and murder, and I want you to see how, kind of in a very subtle way, it begins, and then step by step by step, he gets further and further into it. Isn't that how the devil works? It's not like all of a sudden he wants us to jump into this huge sin, but step by step by step, we are lured in. We are in 2 Samuel today in chapter 11, and in this first section, we see the problem is that David stayed home. Notice what the Bible says. Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab, the commander of the army, and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah, but David stayed at Jerusalem. Think about our own nation. Think about the United States of America. The commander-in-chief, he does not go out and fight, does he? No, he doesn't. Rather, he commands others to go out and fight. That's how we function now as the United States of America. But many years ago, even in our country, it was different. On this particular occasion, David did the same thing. David is the king. He commanded others to go out and fight. But notice, so from the text, that was not the normal thing. This was the time of the year when the king and the army went out, and yet he stayed at home. I believe that was his first step into these sins. Might seem like a simple enough thing. I'm not going to go fight this year. I'm going to stay at home. But yet, what was the problem? He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. As a journey of 1,000 miles begins with but a single step, so David's sins of adultery and murder began with but a single step. Maybe you can think of some kind of a complex sin in your life, one that involved multiple decisions. What was your first step down that path? Maybe if you can think of that, you can relate a little bit to King David. In the second part here, David did not stop. So he took the first step and he did not stop. The Bible says, "Now when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman. And one said, 'Is this not Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' David sent messengers and took her. And when she came, he lay with her." Let's understand from the Bible that David had already multiple wives. As we think about that particular practice in the Bible does not say that multiple wives was wrong. However, though, the Bible does tell us that in the situations where people did have multiple wives, they also had multiple internal problems within their families. So God is showing us this did not work out well. When David first saw Bathsheba, keep in mind, he didn't know who she was. He didn't know if she was married or not. However, upon him learning her situation, what should he have done? He should have stopped. Instead, what did he do? He took her and he laid with her, as the Bible says. And then even worse, in a sense, he knew that she was the wife of one of his 37 mighty men. Those mighty men are so mighty, you can read about them in 2 Samuel chapter 23, but these are such great, courageous, powerful, mighty men. These are men who would give their lives in order to protect King David. And yet he knew the connection of this woman to one of his mighty men, and yet he still went forward anyway. What about us? Have we known that we should have stopped like David knew, and yet we didn't? That can happen to us as well. Going on here, David tried to cover his sin, a natural thing for us to do. The Bible says, the woman conceived, and she sent and told David and said, I am pregnant. Then David sent to Joab, that's his army commander, sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. When Uriah came, David asked concerning the welfare of Joab and the people and the state of the war. Then David said to Uriah, go down to your house and wash your feet. And Uriah went out of the king's house, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all of the servants of his lord and did not go down to his house. David was clever. He had it all figured out. If he could get Uriah to go down to his house and be with his wife, even though she was pregnant, what would everyone have assumed? Oh, the baby that's being born to her, the father is Uriah. So David was going to have this whole plan worked out, execute the plan, and cover over the whole thing. The problem is the plan failed. Uriah did not go down to his house. Have you ever tried to cover your own sin? Is it a good idea to cover our sin? At the end of the sermon today, we're going to take a look real briefly at Psalm 32, verses 1 through 5. And when we get to that point, note how clearly it tells us that we should not try to cover our sins. When we do so, when we keep them inside, they're going to eat us up inside. Going further here, we come to quite a contrast. Going to verse 10, the Bible says, now when they told David, David said to Uriah, have you not come from a journey? Why did you not go down to your house? Note here the answer now of Uriah. He said to David, the ark and Israel and Judah are staying in temporary shelters, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go down to my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? By your life and by the life of your soul, I will not do this thing. What a contrast. David was so shameful in lying with Uriah's wife. Uriah was so honorable in not doing so. Why did he say? He said, I'm not going to do so because of the ark, because of my commander, because of my fellow soldiers, and I'm not going to do so also because of my king. So it was so shameful what David did. Any of our sins can be shameful, and the greater the sins, the greater the shame. So what did David do? He made a second attempt to cover over his adultery. The Bible says, "Then David said to Uriah, 'Stay here today also, and tomorrow I will let you go.' So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day and the next. Now David called him, and he ate and drank before him, and he made him drunk. And in the evening he went out to lie on his bed with his Lord's servants, but he did not go down to his house." Earlier, David had told him, "Go down to your house." Here, David tried to get him drunk to get him to go down to his house, maybe not quite so sharp, and maybe having his human instincts take over, and maybe he would have gone down. But what happened? He did not go down to his house. So David's second attempt did not work either. Going on to part number 6 here, what did David do? David murdered Uriah, and others were also murdered with him. The Bible says, "Now in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. He had written, 'Place Uriah in the front of the fiercest battle and withdraw from him so that he may be struck down and die.' So it was, as Joab kept watch on the city, that he put Uriah at the place where they knew there were valiant, that is, powerful men. The men of the city went out and fought against Joab, and some of the people among David's servants fell, and Uriah the Hittite also died." David was so determined to cover his sin that he murdered one of his own mighty men. So David gave the order. Keep in mind that Joab, he had to cooperate in this plot, and Uriah, along with others, were killed. David was so determined to cover his sin, and what should he have done? He should have been so determined to confess his sin. What about us? Are we better at covering our sin or better at confessing our sin? In the next part, we see that David's kill of Uriah is confirmed. The Bible says, "Then Joab sent a messenger and reported to David all the events of the war. The messenger said to David, 'The men prevailed against us. Moreover, some of the king's servants are dead, and your servant Uriah the Hittite is also dead.' Then David said, 'Thus you shall say to Joab, do not let this thing displease you. Make your battle against the city stronger and overthrow it.'" Now we understand that David wasn't even there. David did not shoot the arrow or throw the spear or whatever it was that finally killed Uriah, but yet he was definitely responsible for his death. God wants us to know that we have also sinned. Sometimes we might get into a situation where we might even admit, "Okay, I know I sinned, but it's not really my fault because he or she is the one who caused me to sin." We have all kinds of ways to get out of our sin. God wants us to rather admit that we have fallen short, admit what we have done, be sorry for what we have done, and receive God's forgiveness through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the final part, we see that David took Bathsheba as his wife. The Bible says, "Now when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. When the time of mourning was over, David sent, and she became his wife. Then she bore him a son. But the thing that David had done was evil in the sight of the Lord." David may have thought this. David may have thought, "I did it, yes. I have successfully covered it up, and everything is fine." Was that true? No, it was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the consequences to this follow in the next chapter. I'm not going to deal with that in this sermon, but you can take a look at chapter 12. Let me conclude like this for today. I want to share something that caught my attention as a truth from this text, something that is relevant, something that is inspiring. Regarding the truth, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, it says, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We can think we have covered something up. There is no covering anything in the sight of God. God sees everything. God knows everything. So it is foolishness to cover up our sins. What about the relevance? Well, as David tried to cover his sin, we are tempted to do the same, but let us not fall into that temptation. Let us know that's not the path to go down. Rather than cover our sins, let us confess our sins. That's what's important. Then how about some inspiration? Let's remember that Jesus took our eternal punishment. We deserve it. He took it for us. So we should be so thrilled that he took that for us, that through him we are forgiven, that through our Lord Jesus Christ we have the gift of eternal life. So how should we respond to that regarding our sins? We should be sorry for all of our sins. We should uncover all of our sins. We should confess all of our sins, and we should receive God's gift of forgiveness and rejoice that in Christ we are forgiven. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, since we have sinned and you have taken them away, move us, help us to gladly and daily confess our sins and receive your wonderful gift of forgiveness. In your holy name we pray. Amen.